Greetings. In Jesus' name, Father, the Almighty God, one that can do anything that needs to be done. I think sometimes it's a lot of faith that we have in God. We also do what we want to do next. Impressed with the service. Thank you, John, for your devotion this morning. My thoughts are probably a little bit scattered too. It's been a while since I missed the whole month of January. I did catch a little bit. With us starting 9:30, you can at least call in another church and you're a little bit there. Then come back here a little bit then. You go for their sermon, you come back to this. So if you really work, you can find a few things out and see what people are doing. this morning, the message is probably more of a teaching lesson sermon than necessarily focus on. The message is about relationships. I don't know if you remember that Edmund said sometime when he preached here that every sermon has something to mention about relationships. And the first couple of sermons after, I didn't hear anything. I didn't pick it up anyhow. But when Mike preached the last time, he mentioned earlier in our sermon relationships for a time. Sean mentioned morning in his devotion about relationships. Relationships is when people work together or unite together to perform something, grow together, whatever it might be. It's when people working together. I believe relationships is scattered through the whole Bible. Within the first four people that existed on the earth, three of them had broken relationships. Adam and Eve had a broken relationship with God. They had a broken relationship between them. Look, now Adam looked a little different than Eve. Eve looked a little bit different than Adam. And it's your call. All right. Then Cain come along, and God is interested in our relationship, especially along with him. When Cain and the boys grew up, Cain didn't bring the right offering, and God came to him and said, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Cain didn't answer. But he said, if thou doest well, God said, won't thou be accepted? The thing, he didn't bring a blood sacrifice. And so God appealed to him to do the right thing, and he stood and did the right thing, so it was a broken relationship there. And then he killed his brother, and that was another broken relationship. And God has worked with broken relationships since that time. God has worked with broken relationships, but he hasn't worked with. He has a heart of love, heart of concern. He's not limited to anything that needs to be done. He can restore relationships. Today we have more broken relationships, unstorable relationships between husbands and wives. Businesses break up, homes break up, churches break up. Somehow we have to fit into those, to God's plans for us, and do what he wants us to do, and to build good relationships among our people. And just thinking about Sean's devotion this morning, about us. We sing songs sometimes, but I think we don't quite get the message. We sing them, but I'm not sure if we understand what we sang on that Sunday. We sang two last Sunday that were tremendous songs, and I wrote the one down, but didn't write the other down. But we sang last Sunday, 454 was "Oh to Be Like Him." You probably don't remember what you sang that song. But I agree. "Oh to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer." Did you really mean that? Gladly I'll forfeit all of our treasures. Jesus, thy perfect light. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wanderer, sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming. How now to receive the anointing divine? All that I am and have, I am bringing. Lord, from this moment, all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy boldness, stamp thine own image deep in my heart. That's really what God wants. We had a little parable back in the beginning of our day. Remember, there he discussed in the last night, I didn't see it, I mentioned a little marriage of a vine. And God took a planted a vineyard. He had a piece of land. He planted a vineyard. He had the choice of the vine. He took out all the stones. He fenced it, put a wine press in it, put a tower in it. He did everything he could to make that vine bloom. He said, but he went to get the grapes. There were wild grapes. A grief to God. A grief. Totally opposite of what he wanted. And he said, I'll tell you what, he said, tear down the fence, the wine press, everything. He just did away with all of it. Thought he wasn't worth having it anymore. And that's what he did with the children of Israel. Children of Israel were. They had commandments just like we have. Deuteronomy 6, it tells them that they were to love God with all their heart and soul and mind. It's not just New Testament scriptures, but it's Old Testament. Well, they were choice people. And God wanted them. He was ready to take them through and do everything he could. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them thy children to thy children. When thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, bind them for a sign between on thy hand and between a frontlet between thy eyes. Just the verse before that, it's in 29:6. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments. Always, and they might be well with them and their children forever. You can turn with me to John chapter 15. I'd like to look at the Bible. And another. Thank you. chapter 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Sometimes I just look at someone there to see what track they're really on. And I looked at G. Morgan Campbell's commentary on John. And I think he's right in what he said. He said in the Greek, they changed the words around from Greek to English, but it didn't change the meaning. And yet, I think it has a little bit different effect. He says in the Greek, it said, I am the vine, the truth. And to me, that means that there's other things that we can draw from that are not the vine. It's not true. There's many things in the world today for us to do that. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Just stop right there. The first eight verses are all about abiding in Christ, being attached to the vine. Now, it's interesting that in Genesis 49, when Jacob was blessing his son, he said Joseph would be a vine by the well. And the branches, whatever, both grew over the well, and he would be fruitful. And then we have the failing of the vine. But I have to get my thought on that one. That they just came to me. The woman of Sychar. She was there by the well that Jacob was Jacob's well. And I believe it was Joseph. But anyhow, Jesus said, if ye drink of this well, you will thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, it will be water everlasting spring up in you. And it was interesting to me, it was Jacob's well that Jesus stopped that. Yeah, couldn't have very much Joseph. I thought about this, and I wasn't sure what I was going to say anything about after Sherwin's talk about the children's home. In verse 8 it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I know that we hardly believe that. But it's the words of Jesus. If you back up to 13, for as whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If anything in my name, I will do it. You have other scriptures you do not go and hear in John 15. But Jesus said, if a son asks a father a fish, bread, will you give him something that is stone, scorpion? He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, won't I also, or the Father, give you good things that you ask for? Jesus also, the apostle said, ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and ye shall be, seek, and ye shall find, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. But I believe it's not the fact that God can't do what we ask him to do. I believe it's the relationship that we have with him that forbids it. In other words, God wants those to be like him. He wants that kind of a relationship with us. So be very much fruit. Let's go to verse 9. And the Father, and this is all about keeping God's commandments. There's two very integral parts of this. And that is divine and divine and doing what he wants us to do. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained that ye should go forth, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I'd like to close with a count on it. It's written in the gospel. It's a woman in the Bible that has just impressed me. And that's Mary Magdalene. She was a woman, she was a sinful woman, she was a doctor's woman, she was, had seven devils cast out of her. And I think she might have been the adulterous woman that was taken in adultery, the very act that the Pharisees brought to Jesus for judgment upon her. There was nothing that she did that they wanted to have her stoned. It was just about Jesus. That's all it was for. But Jesus told the woman when they walked away from the old city, and he arose and said, where are those that accuse you? Has no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Now his heart was touched, but he said, well, go and sin no more. And to me, that was just a testimony and encouragement to change her life. And that's what she did. And I think she was a woman that came, but no, she's a woman that sat in Simon's house. When she knew Jesus was in Simon's house, she took him out of that and went into his house, into this Pharisee's house. And that was quite unusual that a woman of her nature would have went into a Pharisee's house. But maybe he didn't say anything because Jesus was there. But then Mary bowed herself. She poured oil on his head, and then she got down and poured ointment on his feet. And she washed him with tears and wiped him with the hair of her head. And then Jesus gave a parable to the two debtors. But at that point he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. She rose up and went. Another time she anointed, I believe, Jesus' feet in their house, in Martha's house. She sat at his feet, and that was one time. That was right before his burial. She also sat there one time and just listened to his words. That's when Martha was coming about so many things. And Jesus said that Mary had chosen the good part. You know, I believe those times that Mary sat at Jesus' feet were times of deep emotion for our Lord. Someone far as I know, it's the only person that ever worshiped Jesus or even kissed him. Mary Magdalene, as you go through the New Testament, the sufferings of Christ, her name is always mentioned, just always mentioned first, when it talks about the women that were standing up on the cross. Mary Magdalene was in Salome, where, as far as I know, the only two women that were at the grave when Jesus was buried. They were there. They wanted to see what they had laid in. And then they went, when resurrection morning, they went to put the spices and anointing for the burial, but he was already risen. And one place it says that Mary Magdalene was there. And another place it says women ran to get there, but somehow Mary Magdalene was there and stayed at the grave. She was weeping and she looked into the grave and she saw two men. And they said, "Why weepest thou?" And she said, "They have taken away my master and I know where they are." Then she turned around and she thought she saw a gardener, but it was Jesus. And she said, "If you have taken him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will go and take him away." And he said, "Mary." And she said, "Rabboni." And I believe she was falling at his feet. And Jesus said, "Don't touch me, Mary. I have not yet ascended my Father." And as far as I know, Mary Magdalene was the only person that saw Jesus Christ in his resurrection state and not a glorified state. He had not yet ascended to his Father. What a blessing and thoughts that Mary would have had if she thought of that. In other words, she was the first one to see Jesus Christ out of the grave. Not only because of Mary's devotion to her, him, and her attachment to him, and her love for him. You know, that's the kind of relationship that God is looking for us to have. It's a relationship that he has been denied in Israel. And I believe we as a church have the responsibility. The church of Jesus Christ is to be more intense in our devotion to him. And our willingness to worship him. Have you ever taken time just to go and sit for an hour or two with your Bible and pray and see God's face? And give him that kind of devotion? Or is it like the instant inspiration that still sets on the back of our commode? The man's flying through the air with a coffee pot and he's trying to hit the coffee cup. And it's 1 minute. 1 minute to the Lord. Now, that's impossible. There's no instant gratification in the time of the devotion period. We need to take the time to sit at Jesus' feet and just honor him and do his will. And I think there was a discussion back on the Sunday school lesson about devotionables and that type of thing. I think it was in the question in the Sunday school lesson. But you know, using a devotionable for somebody else, for, I know people do it. But to me, it's like ABC gum. If you know what that is. Somebody, didn't you? In other words, that person is basically just interested in selling the book. She was smart enough to do something. And you're reading what she had already digested and put into writing. question that, why is it so hard for us to open the Bible up and find a few verses and meditate on them for an hour and a half or more, and just agree with God wants us? I believe there's tremendous blessings. And I believe it's the reason we don't believe those verses in John 15 is because we don't have the relationship with Him. Because we know and we understand that God will do marvelous things for people, even if they don't ask. If they come to Him in prayer, beseeching His face, Lord, this is where we're at, this is what we got, we need something. If they're honest and sincere, God will do it. And I believe He can be just as vibrant and just as real to us in our day, in 2023, that He was back then. He is the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed one bit. He can still do whatever He wants to do. If we have but enough of faith and trust, may God bless us. As we think of the relationship that we have with the Lord, how precious is it? How much time do you spend with Him each day? I believe we probably spend more time looking at ourselves than we spend with Jesus. Probably a lot more time. Every time you get a message, you have to look at it, and then you have to reply. And then you may get a reply back, and you have to reply again. We have taken our attention off of God and face of the things of kindness and give that more importance than we have to Jesus. Just pray that we could find the time and take the time. You can't find it. You gotta do that. You need to take the time to do it. You need to feel the need in your own heart. This is what I need. And maybe our doubts and fears would not be so great when we connect with God that way. God bless you. That's the number.